Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined today once again by the host who doesn't like toast, my brother from another mother, the one and only Brian E. Roach. What's going on, Brian?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Are you Mr. Rogers?
Well, I'm not because, you know, I'm not. But I was doing the Mr. Rogers thing there, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, Fred Rogers, Pittsburgh legend, by the way, if some of you outside of Pittsburgh never knew. And apparently he has, like, confirmed kills and stuff, Brian. I heard there's, like, the reason he wore, like, the long sleeve shirts all the time was because he had, like, tattoos from his military record. I don't know. That's just a rumor, but that would make Mr. Rogers even more, I don't know, even a grown-ass man in my book, maybe times two. So
I'm thinking that's, you know, tin hat material there, because I'm just saying. But let me just say, I'm as far from Mr. Rogers as a human could possibly get.
I think all of us could, you know, the world needs more Fred Rogers out there.
I don't know any of my neighbors' names.
Yeah, you know, I don't, but that's just because I moved recently. Well, that's not true. I do know a couple, but it's because my kid gets on the school bus and then knows the other kids. So I kind of know, oh, that's so-and-so's, you know, father or mother or something like that. So,
well, to be fair, one of the guys across the street is a Cowboys fan, so why would I want to know his name?
Oh, I hope you knock his mailbox down like every day as you back out of the drive.
It's on the side of his house, so I really can't do that.
Oh, why not? We derailed so bad on this. There is football to talk about, but before we do, folks, if you passed over, we had a bonus episode in the middle of the week where Brian, you lucky dog, visited by Steelers royalty. It's not often on the Steel City Underground podcast, or I would probably say any podcast in general, to really be honest, that a member of the Rooney family is a guest. So if you happen to miss out on this, Brian had an interview with Jim Rooney, son of, you know, the late Steelers president Dan Rooney, and he has a new book out that's called A Different Way to Win, that's about his father Dan Rooney. I encourage everyone to go back and listen to it. It'll be there in the archives. You won't miss it. You know, whenever you have some free time, it's a good half hour of listening.
And he tells some great stories, some interesting anecdotes in there. And just, you know, from my standpoint, if you've got a Steelers library, much like I do, because yes, I'm old and I actually read.
And you old know, people have libraries and studies and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is a must have for the library.
And not only that, beyond mind-blowing, he has a take on the current year and season and everything, too. So, I mean,
absolutely,
you know, talking about the team right now, you don't usually get that. And I understand, you know, Art Rooney is the, you know, face of, you know, the whole thing here. But, you know, you can't go wrong with, you know, the son of, you know, Dan Rooney. I mean, how much more could you ask for here? So some great stories. Definitely check it out. I know I enjoyed it. And, yeah, Brian, you lucky dog. Sometimes it's like we want to be like, hey, you know what? We should both do this. But oftentimes when it was three of us, like the last time when we had the professor mixed in with both of us, it could be a little bit of a train wreck of an episode. So, yeah, that's why you don't hear my voice on it. Plus, Brian is very old and can relate to a lot of these stories, you know, back when the Steelers were founded in 1933. So, but
I've got an important piece of information to tell you, though. It doesn't really relate to me being old, but I just know you're going to like this.
Okay. This
as you know, I've been Atkinsing my butt off, literally.
Yes.
When I weighed in on Wednesday, 269, my friend.
Oh man, not only is that a nice number, but good for you. I mean, really good for. I'm not going to recognize you when I see you next. In fact, I really didn't recognize you almost the last time I saw you when we got together for a game. But no more home games for the rest of the season for the Steelers, unfortunately. Highly unlikely that they would be. Well, I think mathematically, they cannot host another game, but they will be hard-pressed to hold on to this wild card spot, and hopefully we don't say any misinformation or only go half the distance in all these playoff scenarios. But as we know, the Steelers, they need to win on Sunday. And usually, you know, going on the road, 5-9 New York Jets team, this is one of these things where you're like, okay, here's a Jets team that hasn't been very good this season. And this is a game the Steelers could win. I would even go as far as to say that they should win. You take a look at what the Jets have done this year. They have a handful of victories. You want to know who it's against? A very surprising 2-point victory over the Dallas Cowboys that back in week 6. I think, was that the game they got Sam Darnold back? I believe it was.
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
Yeah, because he had like mono. So, of course, when they started out the season 0-4, they were largely without their young starting quarterback. But that doesn't mean he's had a very good season anyway, because you know what? He's thrown a dozen picks already. They just haven't been very good all around as far as their football team. They have had some injuries. You know, they paid for C.J. Mosley as a free agent in the offseason. He's been on IR, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they've won some games, a bad Giants team, a bad Redskins team. Whatever you want to say about the Raiders, I'm going to call them a bad Raiders team, or at least, you know, average on par. And they beat the Dolphins, but the teams they've lost to as well, they've lost to the Dolphins. They lost pretty big to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the middle of the season. And they also succumbed to and gave the Cincinnati Bengals their lone victory of this entire 2019 season. And the Bengals went, they won 22-6 in that game. We just saw the Jets, they had a little bit of a mini to prepare, which is the only thing that really frightens me, but pretty much unable to do anything against the Baltimore Ravens, who got to play a lot of their backups last Thursday night in a 42-21 loss. When I look at this, even though the Steelers have their own setbacks, their own backups and whatnot that they've been playing with, and I understand, you know, they're clinging to their playoff lives right here, but this is a game where, you know, aside from a few notable things, there's a Le'Veon Bell revenge component. There's Greg Williams as a defensive coordinator who's familiar with the Steelers. I got to say, the Steelers are familiar with Bell and they're familiar with Greg Williams too. They should absolutely win this game unless they're in a similar scenario they were with the Bills and they end up turning the ball over, you know, 4 or 5 times.
Right. I mean, this is a game. And first, have you looked at the New York Jets' injury report? There's like half the team is on it.
they have been the whole year.
I know it's crazy. Pardon my coughing, but there is a laundry list of guys on this injury report. Now a lot of them have been full participants. I think six guys on the injury report are listed as full participant. Guess how many are limited? 1, 2, 3, 4. I can count. 6, 7, like 10. I don't know. And then there's a couple who didn't participate. Look, this is a banged up team. They've got issues at a variety of places. Their offensive line is meh. Their defense is solid. And there's no question about that, especially against the run. They haven't been that great against the pass. I agree with your sentiment. This is a game the Steelers absolutely should win. And the way they won't win it is by doing what they did against the Bills, making mistakes. From my standpoint, if you want a bold prediction early on in this podcast, I think Duck comes out. He's the starter. And I think as our lovely friend, Miss Tina Rivers, has said, she thinks changing quarterbacks would just be a mistake. And everyone send her a shrubbery, by the way, because she feels bad. She's been a little under the weather. She deserves shrubberies. Please mail them to her immediately.
Yes, before Christmas. Make sure they get there in time.
But the point is, you know, that I think Duck's going to come out and have a bounce-back game. I don't think it's going to be spectacular in the sense of, you know, he's going to throw touchdowns all over the field, but I think he will not make the kind of mistakes he made during the last game. I think he's going to protect the ball and be smart with the ball. I think the Steelers will be able to win if that happens. But, man, even from the standpoint of the running backs, they can't all of a sudden, or even the receivers, nobody can be turning the ball over. Deontay Johnson, find some stick-em. Keep that ball in your breadbasket, my friend, because that's how they lose a game like this.
I just saw a statistic about him leading like all rookies with receptions, tied or leading, I believe. He's in the 40-ish range. In fact, I could pull it up here in a second. I was actually going to add to your anecdote about the injury report, and I was looking. There's 20 different players that are on like a reserve or injured reserve or anything like that with the Jets, and among them, one of the rookies I know you liked, Blake Cashman. We actually got the interview. View him. I know you were kind of teasing about him. He's not somebody that you wanted, but it was still somebody that was on the radar, right? Quincy Enunwa is a wide receiver when he got hurt. Two tight ends and Ryan Griffin, Chris Herndon. They just can't keep guys like that healthy. You had Ryan Khalil was one of the big ones other than C.J. Mosley that came in the offseason. And then if you actually look at this injury report, I mean, former Steelers Steve McClendon, who's still like the kind of one of their nose tackles there, knee and hip. I mean, the injury types is what's interesting here. You got the illness bug going around, but I mean, I don't know that Demaryius Thomas, is he really even taking a snap with this team? It seems like he's always hurt, hamstring and knee. Jamal Adams shows up with the ankle, is limited. Kelvin Beachum, another former Steeler that's a starter there. Ankles, plural, which I don't know if that's a typo because Belil Powell just has ankle. Maybe both ankles are hurt. I'm not exactly sure. And Brian Poole is in a concussion protocol. Quinnen Williams is limited with a neck. Sam Darnold, knee and left thumb, but he was a full participant. But knee and left thumb. Holy cow, man. And then their backup, David Fales, right elbow, full participant now, too. I mean, they're just they're the walking dead if there ever was anywhere. The Steelers are getting some limited participation, at least, from Juju Smith-Schuster. And, Vance McDonald is finally out of the concussion protocol. Most of the other guys that showed up on the injury report for the Steelers were all kind of like rest days for those guys. So nothing really serious to add to that, at least on the Steelers side, it looks like they may be finally getting healthy. We still don't know what's going on with Juju, if he would have been on injured reserve otherwise, if they're just still playing games here, or if he will be able to return this season. So we'll see. But I mean, he could definitely help. And obviously, if you get James Conner going, he could be of a big help too when you're facing the Jets. That's why I think the offense is going to be trending upward. I mean, you can't really get much worse than it was. And it's been bad, Brian. It's been bad all season. And it's been because of a different cast of characters. You can't keep the same guys in on the games. But if you have the better talented players, the guys that are supposed to be your stars, especially former Pro Bowl players from last year's Pro Bowl, it can only help. And I think you agree with me here that really when you look at Duck Hodges' interceptions in the last game, everybody's really down because they look at the stats. Maybe they didn't even watch the game. This guy threw four interceptions and they're like shocked face that Tomlin wouldn't stick with his guy. He had one bad game. You don't bench Ben after five. Now, I know Ben's Ben. Looney threw five interceptions. Everyone was down on him in the same way, and then he bounced back in a big way. I look at this as Duck was trying to force some big plays to happen. And in the case of only really the one throw, the second interception where he was trying to find Deontay Johnson, who by the way, has 47 receptions. I almost said 48. 47 receptions this season, which leads the team, by the way, and all rookies. Second is Jalen Samuels. We wouldn't have known that because they haven't been throwing them the ball as much as of late. But you go down this list, James Washington is caught up, 39. Juju Smith-Schuster has 38, and he hasn't even been playing. He's only appeared in 10 games. So these are the reasons. I'm not down on Duck, and I don't really feel too discouraged playing against a Jets team that – you know, we see the way the Steelers defense has been playing. If there's any like a modicum of Steelers offense here, they should be able to walk out of MetLife Stadium with no problem with a W.
Absolutely. The Steelers defense should be able to continue the trends that they've been on. In other words, they should be able to generate some turnovers. Sam Darnold is not Mr. Perfection. He will throw an interception. We know Le'Veon Bell can fumble. it's not that it's impossible. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a history of extreme fumbles, but it can be done. And this is a team that is much more apt to get some turnovers on their side of the ball. Provided that the offense, as we said repeatedly, does not, toss the game away, I think that they should be in good shape. And I think, you know, look, hopefully they learned a lesson from that last game. And that lesson being, as we have been saying ever since Ben went out, this is not Ben's team anymore. This is not a team that can throw the ball 40 or 50 times a game. This is a team that needs to grind it out, be careful when they do throw only when they absolutely need to throw, maybe mix in a couple of play action passes at times, and just take what you can get. Because as long as you do that, you're going to get some points. Once you get some points, as long as you don't keep putting the defense in a bad position, you've got a defense that can win games for you right now. And, you know, I certainly think they can take advantage of the Jets offense. It's the only concern is that letdown concept, you know, and we haven't seen it this season from this team. You know, even after, you know, a depressing loss, they've come out strong the next week. You know, they don't seem to be weak-willed in the way that you might think some Steelers teams in the past were. So I don't expect a letdown from this team. They absolutely should not have one. And I think, you know, one of the big concerns will be whether Duck is on a short leash. Look, if he's miserable, yeah, they might pull him at halftime. But I think he gets the first half to prove that he still should be the starter. And provided he doesn't, like I said, provided he doesn't throw two picks in the first half and just look atrocious and the ball is nowhere near where it's supposed to go, a la somebody else, then, you know, then I think he'll be fine. Hopefully they've learned their lesson and they know they need to utilize guys like James Conner more. Maybe they figured out that, hey, you know what? Sometimes crossing routes work.
Yeah. Yeah, what else can you say? Maybe you could throw the quarter even the dink and dunk, Brian. I mean, everybody was all over them about with Mason particularly about dinking and dunking around. But what's the harm? Like I said, the guy that's going to be on the other side of the field is Le'Veon Bell. Used to throw to him all the time. He used to be second in receptions on the team. It wasn't like every now and then you might see him streak down the sideline, sneak out for one of these plays where he's covered by a linebacker or there's a little bit of a mismatch. But how often was that? Once or twice the entire time he was in Pittsburgh, maybe? So, I mean, there's no harm in setting up those type of plays with the Steelers offense. And, I mean, we're talking about Vance McDonald's going to be back here. James Conner should be at full health now, back to maybe he lost a little bit of football shape or whatever, but he should be a full go now. And he's had a disappointing season where he's only topped 100 yards rushing once, and that was against the Dolphins. Now he's had a couple of games here, one against the Bengals and another against the Chargers, where he's gone over 100 all-purpose yards. And if you look at those two games in particular against, you know, I wouldn't say the Chargers were kind of back on their heels. They should have been better this season, I think, than what they are. And they had some talented players. And, of course, I think they were missing Derwin James and some others in on that defensive side of the ball. But you look at that. That was the game Duck played, and he found all seven targets that went to James Conner were caught. He had seven catches for 78 yards, and one of those was a touchdown. He had a pair of touchdowns total. He carried the rock 16 times for 41 yards. The other one was the game, the first game at home against Cincinnati, where Conner had 42 yards rushing and he caught 8 of 8 for 83 and a touchdown. Pretty much he's almost scored in every game he's appeared in. There was the game against the Patriots that started the season where he did not score. There was the game against the 49ers where he did not score, and he had the fumble as well. So when you're looking at that, I'm looking at Conner, and of course the game at Cleveland where he got banged up and whatnot, but you're looking at Conner here. You got to get this guy, or Steelers running backs in general, you got to get that magic number of 20. And I think if they get that there, this is a a walk-off, provided, you know, you're not putting the ball on the ground or in the hands of the other opponents, like I said, or on the other case of false start penalties, holding, or anything like that. I still don't feel like the Jets are that kind of team, to be completely honest. You know, they're 28th in points scored. That's still worse than the Steelers. The Steelers are still at 25th. They're 20th in points allowed. The Steelers have they're 6th overall. They're 26th in takeaway differential. They're 29th in passing, 31st in rushing. Now, you mentioned the run defense. This is the only thing they could really do, is if the Steelers abandon the run in this game and just let Duck throw it 30, 35 times, it's going to be a recipe for disaster, because the Jets are second overall against the run. And, you know, that's kind of surprising in a way, because, you know, sometimes some of this statistically doesn't necessarily equate to them being run stuffers and has more to do with game script. Maybe it has more to do with they can't cover anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that could always be the case. Didn't Jamal? I think Jamal Adams was out against the Ravens as well. So when you're losing players like that, and they had some other guys that are hurt or missing in that secondary, it's something they should be able to attack. I don't know. I don't really even want to put Juju on the table, because I really don't know if they're going to risk. He's got to play, though. If he's going to come back, he's got to play at some point, and he would definitely have to play the following week against the Ravens, because if you end up in the postseason, if you want to end up in the postseason, he has to help you win a game. And then you're going to want him to play in a game, much like Connor, maybe even on like a pitch count, and then be ready for that postseason game as well at 100%. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the great mystery is here. It's unfortunate the Steelers couldn't eke out the victory against the Bills. I mean, they had their opportunities. But this isn't the Buffalo Bills. This isn't remotely close to pretty much any of the opponents that the Steelers have played all season, other than the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals, who each own a victory over this New York Jets team. I think Darnold is going to be pressured heavy and often, and I do believe that's going to be, you know, I don't know. I didn't want to jump to the Jets offense versus the Steelers defense yet. I was still trying to stick with the Steelers offense. But I think the Steelers offense, if they can't get 20 points on this team, and I know they kind of like struggled to do similar with the Cardinals when we said this, they should have had like maybe the same thing. I mean, they got the 23. So if they get in that range, I think they could definitely win this game. It should be no question whatsoever, because I don't see the Jets getting into 20-point range. I would be kind of surprised, to be honest with you, looking at the Jets games this year. I mean, they've gotten in the 30 range on very bad teams like the Giants, Redskins, and Raiders, but they really don't sniff it a whole lot. I mean, okay, they got 21, but that was the Ravens' backups, and they beat the Cowboys. Otherwise, they've been pretty miserable on offense.
Yeah, I agree with you. First of all, I think Darnold will be running around for his life. I think with this defense and this defensive line and the way Tyson Alualu has been playing the last couple weeks.
Grown-ass man.
Definitely grown-ass man. You know, you add him into the mix of Hargrave and Cam, and, you know, TJ Watt and Bud Dupree. I mean, look, that front is pretty fearsome at this point, and they're getting the job done, and they are consistently pressuring, even really good offensive lines, which the Jets, as I've said, is not. So, you know, they should have no issues getting in his face, finding ways to get to him. And as long as the backs and the linebackers do what they're supposed to do, which is, you know, even if you're going to allow a catch in front of you, make sure you tackle the catch so they're not giving up big plays. I think the defense easily manages the Jets offense. And if they score, you know, to be honest, if they score 17 points, I'll be stunned.
Jets offense, that is, right?
Yeah, the Jets offense. If they score 17 points, I'll be amazed, because, you know, the only way I see that happening is, you know, the same sad song we've been playing over and over again. If we give them points, you know, defensive scores and whatnot, if we allow that to happen, then that's a problem. But the offense, look, I'm not afraid of the Jets offense. You know, where's Wood? I need to knock on it again, so I hopefully don't come back and regret that statement. But I'm not. And the Steelers' defense should be able to handle them. From the offensive side, on the, you know, as you're talking about, look, I think if they're smart and they utilize Connor, maybe, you know, maybe they had him on a pitch count last week. We don't know. But let's say that, you know, there is no restriction on James Connor this week. It should be a heavy dose of James Connor mixed in with some Benny Snell and some Jalen Samuels and a little Kareth White to, you know, to as you know, change of pace guys. And if they do that, you know what? All of a sudden, if they're able to be successful running the ball a little bit, those throwing lanes are going to open up and Duck's going to be fine. You know, they catch him by surprise with something to Deontay Johnson or maybe Deion Kane down the field. You know, I'm not worried about Juju showing up for this game, but I absolutely agree with you. You know, he needs a game under his belt if the Steelers get into the postseason and before he has to play in the postseason. And that may be the Ravens game, and maybe that's okay if we're playing, you know, if we're playing their second team guys or, you know, not the full complement there. Because while I don't expect the Ravens to roll over for us, you know, at the same time, I like that this team almost beat them full strength.
Yes.
So, you know, let's think that that could be a positive outcome as well. And yeah, we need to, you know, we need to hope the Saints beat the Titans this week. And we definitely need to hope that the Texans take care of business when the Titans go to Houston. But, you know, we said this in the post game and we keep repeating it. All they got to do is win. If they win out, they're in. They are still in control of their own destiny, which is why I take exception to the NFL's projection. You know, oh, who's got the best chance to make the playoffs? And they had the Titans at like 88% and the Steelers at 43%. Screw you.
Well, I've been hearing these same things. Like the same, I watch the same stuff, like NFL Network or listen to the NFL radio, and I'm trying to think to myself which game they were talking about, and it was like they just pulled up the box score and had like absolutely zero clue of which Steelers players weren't available or weren't playing, and it was kind of a mess, or they didn't know they were playing the Jets this weekend or whatever be the case. And it's just one of those things where it kind of grates you because you're just like, okay, quit disparaging my team here. You know what I mean? I think the thing that's going to stick in most people's minds here, Brian, is even though the Steelers lead this all-time series 18-5, they won three of the past four. It was the last game that was played there in New Jersey, and it was the one with Michael Vick. If you remember the Jets winning 20-13, what a miserable game that was. Was that the failed Rabona kick, or was that was later, wasn't it? That wasn't that game, was it?
I don't think so.
No, they still had Sean Swisham back then. That's right. Cause that was back in 2014, but yeah, I mean, that's what people are going to think of. They're going to think of the old narratives of, well, can the Steelers win on the road, this and that. Look, man, I mean, Duck Hodges has been playing with house money for how long? Mason Rudolph actually was playing with house money sort of kind of too. Maybe a little more pressure since he was a draft pick and some people think he's the future. I mean, Duck, nobody even, like, who is this guy? You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay, they probably call him Duck. They probably don't even know his first name's Devlin. So you have that kind of sense, and I mean that's kind of where he was against the Bills, and he was seeing some ghosts. Offensive line gets up to snuff here. I don't see a problem. Now I want to flip over to the Steelers defense against the Jets offense, because and I mean this could be a very quick thing right here. I already mentioned, you know, how many times you know, Darnold's given it away 12 times in 11 games, and overall your New York Jets have given up 48 sacks this season. The Steelers offense, they still haven't given up, you know, all that many. The Jets defense has only been able to sack opponents 30 times. There's only two games like left in this season. 48 is a huge number. I think the Steelers are going to get after them. Like you said, Tyson Alualu is playing out of his mind. You don't even know the two it's not out there. Alualu is playing out of his mind right now. And that's a good thing. You have this game. They still think, the bookies still think it's low scoring, 37.5. But the Steelers are actually favored by 3, which is, you know, hey, finally, you know, tipping maybe the scales in their favor. You look at what the Jets have as far as maybe weapons And I mean, I know you got like Ty Montgomery really hasn't done much of anything. He's one of these hybrid players. I don't think I want to mention him. The main guy here is Bell. Everyone, all eyes are going to be on Bell. Bell has not had a very big year whatsoever. And, you know, there's people that are saying there's no animosity or whatever. He hasn't had 100 yards rushing at all. And he's pretty much appeared in every game. And, oh, I'm sorry here. Just lost my train of thought. But, yeah, you know what he's not going to be able to do? And I don't think he's been able to do it with the Jets anyways, but he's definitely not going to be able to do it against guys who know him very well, is his little hesitation dancing. He's going to be picking up, like, little chunks of yards here or there. He gets utilized in the passing game, as he should, and that's about the most damage that he's going to do. Otherwise, I don't see any very big weapons. I like Robbie Anderson as a wide receiver, but you can't tell me that Steven Nelson or Joe Hayden, they're not going to terrorize this guy. You could put Mike Hilton maybe on Bell, or maybe you have Mark Barron or somebody like that, but Darnold's going to have to deliver the ball, and he's going to have to deliver it quick. The Steelers' defense is going to be – they're going to be creating havoc all over the field, and I could picture them getting several turnovers here off of, you know, whether it's a pick or a fumble or whatever. TJ Watt has been forcing fumbles like he's a man possessed. Just last week, okay, two tackles for loss, forced fumble, pass deflection, half a sack. He's looking for his third game in a row with a pass deflection and his sixth in a row on the road. Six straight road games where a outside linebacker has batted the ball down. Okay, he's had at least a half a sack in 10 of his past 11 games. And overall, when you're starting to go back here, he's the only player in the NFL with six forced fumbles in each of the past two seasons. You know, you look at everything else here. Devin Bush leads all the rookies with 92 tackles. You have Joe Hayden with a couple picks in the last few games. And, you know, Steven Nelson finally got a pick last week. They're just going to be all over them like a fly on you-know-what, and I don't know that, like, you know, okay, Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, none of this is really – this isn't a very scary offense here, and it's kind of crazy that, you know, Duck Hodges could put another feather in his cap maybe on Sunday by beating another very highly touted younger quarterback coming out of the draft. Wouldn't that be something?
Absolutely. And there's no reason, like as you said, there's no reason to think that this defense can't take advantage of the Jets' offense. You know, there's no reason to think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a breakout game in this game. Yes, I'm sure he would like to prove that they should have given him guaranteed money and kept him. But what has been proven since he left and since he's been at the Jets is that they shouldn't have. So,
and they don't even want him. He was on the trading block.
Yeah, they don't want him. You know, why at this point? Why would you? He is a distraction to a certain extent. Look, he's no Mr. Big Checks.
No, not even close. Not even scratching the surface.
Not even comparably. And I don't have any negative, feelings towards Le'Veon Bell. I said when everything went down with Bell, look, I respect the fact that he wants to get what he wants to get. I just think he's deluded because he's not going to get it, and he didn't. But you know, that being said, you know, he did it in a more professional fashion than what happened with, you know, whoever.
Well, sort of. He played games and said, oh, I'm going to come back, and he tweets stuff. So I still have a little animosity over how he handled that. He held him hostage.
You need to let that go. Go, come on, do the Frozen 2 thing. Let it go.
No. Well, he would have made more money. And, you know, I just think it's dumb. He hurt his pocket, and he probably hurt his legacy and maybe even his longevity in the league because he had a year. But, you know, I understand he's not carrying the ball and putting all this doing all this damage to his body, but now he's not on a winning team, and he's not even getting paid as much. And I think that hurt the Steelers last year. Let's not forget they didn't make the playoffs, and they were supposed to have all these killer bees and everything else. So I do think he hurt the Steelers, and I don't necessarily mind. I mean, I'm not going to send the guy death threats or something, nor would I anybody. And definitely Big Checks is on a whole other planet, like literally. I don't even want to try and figure out what Louis Vuitton belts and beating kids or anything has anything to do with his life right now. Just let him be on his own play. Oh, you know what? He's also said he wished he would have been there for Mason Rudolph. Did you see that one?
I did.
He went back back on like a month old Instagram post and I love you and I wish I would have been there to help you or whatever. Well, you should have showed up. And that's the way I feel about both of the guys. You don't show up, you're not Steelers. I don't really too much care anymore. But even with like I've come around on James Harrison, I don't really necessarily hate Le'Veon Bell. I'm still going to carry a little bit of animosity for the way he did end up handling that because you had an inkling that like Melvin Gordon, that he might show up. You know what I mean? And he didn't. So
yes, I'll grant you that he fibbed. And he fibbed to the team, which is, you know, look, we remember the offensive line kind of lost their doo-doo over, you know, when he thought he was going to show up and he didn't. So it wasn't ideal, but at the same time, look, you know, he took his chances on himself and it did, in my view, it did not pay off. And do not be surprised, because I certainly won't be, if the Jets cut him after this year.
Would you bring him back?
No, not in a million years. Not because, right, of Bell's not a quality talent, but I don't think they need him. And he's certainly not going to, I mean, maybe at a decent price, much less than what they would have had gotten for him, because he's not going to go out and demand, you know, where is he ranked in running backs? Like, what, bottom half? He's not going to go out and demand $50 million again if he gets cut by the Jets.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, we'll end up tabling that because I guarantee you that's going to be an off-season speculation, especially if it does happen, and then we could add more to that. I mean, there was speculation that the Steelers like kind of put feelers out to sea about trading him, and I guess they felt that they could stuff him under the salary cap of what he ended up signing for. And I mean, they offered him a deal, so they must have had that in mind looking forward and down the road. But I think they got to spend their money in other places. But we'll table that. Brian, I think we're both on the same page. Steelers not only need to get a victory, we feel this is a game that they not only must win, but definitely should win. Anything less of that, if this is grinding teeth and waiting until the last 2 minutes of the game to see who the victor is, I mean, I'm ready to kind of – it's been a fun ride, but I'm going to start putting a few things away in the suitcase and prepare for the off season, and then my bags will be already ready. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So
this is my take. If they do the things they need to do, take care of the ball and play right, I think they win this game 23-3.
That would be nice. That would be, you know what? We didn't even talk about specialists or special teams. Sam Ficken is not a good field goal kicker. He's. We were talking about Hauschka last week. I mean, this guy's missed three extra points, and he's missed six field goals. Not good at all. So if it really comes down to it, I mean, he's not going to be, it's not like the Jets are going to kick five field goals in this game and end up, you know, grinding out a victory in that type of fashion. It's going to have to be some type of touchdowns, and it's going to be a field position battle. So that's just the way I don't even see the field position battle thing, because the Steelers are just that much better of a defense. This season, like I said, this isn't like playing the game against Buffalo, and I'm not even sure that they have the same kind of playmakers that are capable of doing some of the damage, like a John Brown, for instance, that that the Bills did. I think it's just a completely different thing, and it should be. You got a team that's double-digit victories in the Buffalo Bills and a playoff contending team here versus a team that's mathematically ruled out and has been for some time. So I don't know if you have any other closing thoughts, but I think, you know, I don't know much more I can add to this other than I really – you said the pitch count are ducks on a short leash. We talked about this, I think, in the last show, didn't we? I mean, we could see Tomlin making a move like that. He's going to stick with the guy for continuity and consistency starting this game. But if he pulls a Mason Rudolph against the Bengals type of game, we could see the script flip just to see if they could get a spark, because they have to win this game. And I think Coach Tomlin is in a position where he will do it by any means necessary if he has to. Maybe he'll even step on the field. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't view it as a short leash. I view it more as long as he doesn't kill them.
Yeah, we don't want any killing, Jack.
Yeah.
I had to bring up I forgot about the Duck Dynasty thing. I felt like, you know, I was out of it. I didn't know that Cy Robertson had actually sent the message prior to that when we mentioned that like a week or two back. So that used to be something I used to watch. He used to say Jack all the time. And when you say killing him, I always think of the duck hunting. And I also think of Duck Hunt with the Nintendo. Wow, this is getting deep. Just as long as we don't have the silly dog laughing at us, I think we'll be all right. So
absolutely.
Yep, and then maybe we can laugh. I'd like to see, as much as I hate to say this, it'll be nice. It would be nice for the Ravens to just embarrass the Browns, because on multiple levels, that means the Ravens can pack it up for Week 17, maybe give the Steelers an easier go of this. The Steelers win and beat the Jets. That means they wouldn't have lost to a lowly team. That means they're in the driver's seat for a playoff spot. And then we can all laugh at the Cleveland Browns, who will not be. And it'll be close to my projection at the beginning of the season of that plus minus 7 wins.
Absolutely. My weekend will be complete if the Browns are humiliated, if the Saints beat the Titans, and if the Bills beat the Patriots, at which point I will do a happy dance.
Yeah, I do believe there's still a tiebreaker with the Patriots still, where they have to lose to the Dolphins. In order, yeah, I do believe. I did some more investigating right after that, so it was kind of, I thought the Bills can maybe overtake them, but I don't think that that's necessarily going to work out the way that we would necessarily hope, because if the Patriots had to play an extra week for a change, then, ooh, yeah. But they get to play both of these games at home too, Brian. They get to play the Bills and the Dolphins at home. If the game was at Miami, no matter who Miami has, for whatever reason, that place is like this vacuum where the Patriots can't play football. And then that may have been a little bit of hope, no matter how bad they've been. But, yeah, there's very little hope here. I don't even know. Like, the Patriots can – they could, oh, you know what? That's what it was that teed me off, Brian, now that I remember. It was James Harrison going to the Patriots and everyone talking about Terrell Suggs. Terrell Suggs. Any team should want Terrell Suggs. And he probably has a little bit more to offer still. And people with the Steelers saying it. And people that didn't know any better were comparing him to James Harrison and his forced fumbles and sacks and everything that he had in four games once he joined the Patriots. What they forgot to say was it was against the Jets team that was playing who? Bryce Petty as their quarterback, and they were absolutely miserably bad. So it ties back into that Jets thing. He did it all in one game and did nothing else the other three games. So, yep. But I mean, I get it. I get what people, they see a player, and Suggs was on the cheap too. He only had like very little money still owed to him, so it wouldn't have costed any team to get him. But why would the Steelers have done that move? I don't know. Why, you know, that's not necessarily a guy I think they ever liked. And I don't know if he would have fit like any scheme or taken a roster spot from somebody else. Speaking of taking a roster spot from somebody else, Paxton Lynch is on the practice squad. There's nobody we want to drop off the 53 to give him a shot just because we're throwing darts now. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, come on. Yes.
It's not December 23rd yet. It's not Festivus, but the poll is out and ready, Brian. So yep. We'll reconvene for our Festivus episode coming up, and we hope everyone's safe, because I know we're heading into the holiday week coming here. So even with your busy schedule and my busy schedule, thanks for joining me once again.
Always a pleasure. And, you know, may the feats of strength and airings of grievances occur without a massive injury next week.
Yes, and one more important note for all of our listeners out there, other than to like, comment, and subscribe, thank you very much for all of that. And you're also going to go back and listen to the Jim Rooney interview, of course, because you're great folks out there, and Steelers Nation is very supportive, but no Star Wars spoilers. Thank you. That's okay. I'm going to be seeing it, so but I will ignore a little bit of social media since I don't get to see I'm not one of the guys that was like camping out in my tent to make sure that I'm there first thing, so but no spoilers. Don't be a jerk, please. And then I will have seen the movie, and then I could delete any bad comments like that, too. We're almost inviting it, but don't do it.
I heard Luke is alive.
Well, that would be The Rise of Skywalker.
Ooh, there you go. That's what I heard.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, we hope it's The Rise of the Duck.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Quack, quack. Anyways, yes, folks, that'll do it for us here. Look for us again with our airing of grievances and feats of strength right around the corner. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, we encourage everyone to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.